are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goetz.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Thursday, everybody. Hope you're doing well on this October 10th, 2024. This is On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goetz, and you got me for the next 2 hours right here on ESPN 106.7. Not to be that guy, but my goodness, it's a beautiful day outside here in Auburn, Alabama. Sun is shining. Temperature is almost perfect just for me. I could use it a little cooler. I would take it a few degrees down. I know that's a hot take or maybe a cold take around here. But I hope you're doing well on this Thursday afternoon. Man, we got a great show on tap for you today. It's always busy around here on Thursday afternoons. If you are somebody that tunes in all the time, you know that. You know Thursdays are busy during my show. Guest heavy today. That's right. We will have three wonderful guest on the show this afternoon. Coming up in about 30 minutes or so, Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network is going to grace us with his time. Even though it is a bye week for Auburn football, there is a lot to talk about around the football program. We have some basketball news to talk about today, plus we'll get updates from around Auburn Athletics. So that's coming up with Brad later on in this hour. That'll be at 2:30. We'll also get back to having Auburn High School's head football coach Keith Etheridge. He will join us at 3 o'clock. Didn't have him on a couple of weeks ago with all the changes and everything, but we will get him back on the program this week here, and excited to have Coach Etheridge join us at 3 o'clock. So we'll have that for you. And then coming up at 3:30, we'll have Chris Gordy, host of the Locked On SEC podcast. So very excited to have all of those guests a part of the show today, and hopefully going to have you a part of the show today as well, outside of those three guests. The phone lines are open. What's on your mind? How are you feeling on this Thursday afternoon? What do you want to talk about on the show today? 334-321-1390. That number again, 334-321-1390 is the phone line number. You can give me a call. We'll talk about some things here on the program today. You can also shoot me a text in the On the Line text box. That number is 334-784-1067. And I want to start the show today with Auburn basketball, because I know the season, we're still, a little under a month. I guess you could say about 3 weeks or so, which when you really think about it, it's pretty crazy, right? It's pretty crazy to think about the fact that Auburn basketball begins in literally just a few weeks. I mean, practice has already started, but games get going here very, very soon. And what I want to dive into today is the fact that, yes, we've known the schedule for a little bit, right? We've known what the schedule looks like in terms of who we're playing and where we're playing. But now we have complete TV times and TV locations. So tip times and TV spots. And this is where it really starts to feel real. And this is where I personally start getting excited, because those of you that know me, I love basketball. I love basketball. I love college basketball, high school basketball. I'm a big NBA guy too. It's such a unique sport for me, and I'll be real, it's one of my favorites to broadcast, right, doing play-by-play. It's one of my favorites to be a part of, and man, this Auburn basketball team, it's going to be really, really good. We at least expect it to be really, really good, right? This is something that I feel we have said for the last handful of years, but this is an extremely talented team. It is, and I have continued to say this is Bruce's most talented team ever. In his history of coaching, I think it is. And I just have a feeling from the people that I've talked to around the program and those that know a little bit more about it than I do to this point, I feel like Bruce is going to coach them that way. I feel like Bruce, and what I mean by that is, I think he's going to coach this team as if they are the best he's ever had. Because the potential is there, man. The potential is absolutely there for this Auburn basketball team. Just look around. Look at the roster. Look at who came back. Look at who came in. Look who is stepping in as the youngsters. I mean, this team has everything you could want a team to have. This team is exactly what we thought they would be. You've got a mixture of graduate seniors. You have a mixture of seniors. You have some juniors. You have some sophomores. You've got some really star-studded freshmen. You've got big guys. You have shooters. You have guards. You have athletes. Everything that you could want in a basketball team, you've got them right here. I look at Jahni Broome, who not only will be one of the best centers in all of college basketball, he's going to be one of the best players in all of college basketball. You bring in Ja'Kai Howard as a freshman, 6'6", 185, right? You have so many different players. I look at the ones who have come back for another season. Jahni Broome, Chaney Johnson, Chris Moore, Dylan Cardwell, Chad Baker-Mazzara, right? You got to keep looking through and you look at some of the newcomers, the new faces on this team. Denver Jones, right? A new guy who, as a senior, you expect to see him. I mean, coming back, yes, but coming back for another year at Auburn. And look, there's a lot of new names on this team. There's a lot of new guys that we have to get used to on this roster. But I can't wait to see what Denver does in year two here. And I also look at a guy like JP Pegues, who is bringing just a ton of experience from his previous stop. A guy that's hit some major shots in his career, has one of the best shots in the NCAA tournament's history from just a year ago. Like, you're bringing in some serious dudes. And then your freshmen, right? Your young guys, your Tahad Pettifords and Ja'Kai Howards, who I would say have high expectations, yes, but man, there's so much talent in front of them. Like, they shouldn't feel any pressure. They shouldn't feel like the weight of the program is on their shoulders because they have so many guys around them and so many guys in front of them. Man, how many times do you look around the prime days of Kentucky or the prime days of Kansas, Duke, North Carolina, and you just see freshman after freshman after freshman on the floor day one? Because that's what those programs did. And they bring these guys in, and it's like, okay, here you go. Here's the program. Good luck. And we're going to bank everything we have on this 18-year-old kid. But Bruce Pearl's done a really, really good job at not relying on them year in and year out. Auburn's had some good ones, right? We've seen some really good freshmen in this basketball program, and we've relied on them sometimes. But what I like about this upcoming season, this upcoming roster, is you don't have to. Whatever they bring you, whatever those freshmen bring you on the floor, is just extra. It's extra. You just get to sit back and watch them grow and learn and develop and just hopefully get better as the year goes on. Are they going to make some seriously crazy plays? I hope so. Probably a handful of them. But are they going to make freshman-style mistakes? Yeah, they will. They absolutely will. But the hope is that they're not in during a time of the game where it costs us the game. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? What I'm looking at is the senior leadership on this team, the experienced guys, the ones that have played 3, 4, 5 years of college basketball to step up and make this team successful. And when you look at this schedule, again, we've known what it looks like, but now we have tip times and TV locations. Right, Auburn's opener on November 6th against Vermont. You have that streaming at night. That's here in Auburn. Game two, remember, this is in Houston, not at Houston technically, but it's in Houston. Right, that's an 8:30 game on ESPNU. Kent State's on there. UNA's on there. Then you have the Maui Invitational, that game on November 25th. Really looking forward to that. And we know that Auburn will play Iowa State. They're either going to play North Carolina or Dayton, and then they'll play another combination of opponents at some point after that. That's a three-game set. You get guaranteed three games in Maui. So we're going to look forward to that. That's over the Thanksgiving holidays. I say it's holidays because that's part of their feast week, so looking forward to that. Then you'll get about a week off before Auburn goes to Duke. Yes, that is to Duke, and that's on a Wednesday night at 8:15. Wednesday night at 8:15 on ESPN, part of a lot of big games that day, I'm sure. So keep that one in mind. Richmond, Ohio State, that's in Atlanta. Remember, that is the Holiday Hoopsgiving over there at State Farm Arena, playing Ohio State on December 14th. You've got Georgia State. You'll play Purdue on December 21st. That's a 3:30 tip on ESPN on that Saturday. And you close out with Monmouth for your regular season or your non-conference slate on December 30th. And then here's the SEC schedule. In case you forgot, this is what Auburn has. You ready for this? You open up at home against Missouri on a Saturday afternoon. You then immediately go straight to Austin, Texas and take on the Longhorns on a Tuesday night at 8 o'clock. You go to South Carolina after that on a Saturday for a noon tip on SEC Network before you get to come home and play one game at home against Mississippi State at 6 p.m. on a Tuesday night. Then you go right back out on the road and you head to Athens, Georgia to take on the Dogs on a Saturday afternoon, 12 o'clock on SEC Network. You come home and you get Tennessee Saturday night, 7:30. ESPN. How about that? January 25th, Saturday night, you get Tennessee inside of Neville Arena. That is going to be fun. Watch out. That could be a potential college game day location, so keep that one in mind. Then Wednesday, you're back out on the road, January 29th at LSU for a night game, 6 o'clock there. You go to Ole Miss on a Saturday afternoon, 1 or 3 o'clock. Interesting, that's on ESPN. You come home for Oklahoma to get February rolling. Florida's at home that Saturday before you make two more road trips at Vanderbilt, February 11th. That's a Tuesday. At Alabama, February 15th. That's a Saturday afternoon game, 3 p.m. on ESPN. You come home February 19th on a Wednesday versus Arkansas. That's a night game in the middle of the week, so that'll be fun. Georgia, that Saturday afternoon at home. Ole Miss, that Wednesday afternoon at home. That is the February 26th game. Three more to go here. March kicks off Saturday at Kentucky. That's an afternoon game at some point. The time is still floating. You go to Texas A&M March 4th on a Tuesday night before you return home Saturday afternoon at 1 o'clock on March 8th, the season finale. And right on cue, got a text on our on-the-line text box, 334-784-1067, that says, are we a little disappointed that the Alabama game isn't at night? Just seems like that might be the most anticipated home game in history. And it very well could be. That could very well could be one of the most hyped up, anticipated, biggest games to ever take place inside of that building of Neville Arena. Even when it was Auburn Arena. The potential of Auburn and Alabama, what this season could be for both of those programs and the two times that they match up. Right, Auburn plays at Alabama. That's a Saturday afternoon, 3 p.m. And their return trip is a Saturday afternoon at 1 p.m. So I get what you're saying. I do. I'm upset by that. Night games are cool. Night games are exciting. You have all day to build it up. Right, for some of you, that's all day to get fired up and get whatever in your system to get ready to go. But they did make it I guess, fair, right? I'm not a huge fair guy, but they did make it fair to where both games are in the afternoon on a Saturday. But you have time for, you know, ESPN to build it up and things like that. 1 o'clock is kind of a lame time. I mean, all right, you got to go eat an early lunch because got to go to the game, right? So I get what you're saying. But man, the thing that sticks out to me is, and we've talked about this before, but man, this SEC schedule, I don't know who we disappointed, but the fact that January is stacked up the way it is, I'm not happy about it. I'm not happy about it at all. You have, let me double check and make sure I'm right about this. You have no situation in January where you play back-to-back home games. Your first back-to-back games on the schedule are February 4th and February 8th. You have more coming up after that. You only have, holy smokes, you only have two scenarios on the entire schedule. One of them's a three-game stretch, but where you play back-to-back games at home. Everything else is alternating or back-to-back road games. That's unacceptable. That's unacceptable. We got to talk more about that when we come back. 334-321-1390. I want to hear from you. Your reaction to not just the Auburn basketball schedule, but the times, TV schedule, right? The layout of all of this. I don't know. Seems like Auburn got hosed on this one. We'll talk about it more when we come back here on the Thursday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
Let's get to the phone lines here on the Thursday edition of On the Line. 334-321-1390. We'll start with John in Auburn. You're on the line, my man.
Hey, Jacob. So I have an interesting take on scheduling.
Okay.
And with men's basketball. And just kind of an interesting observation I made. Do you realize general admission season tickets for women's basketball start at $25?
For Auburn or?
For Auburn.
I did not know that.
That price just seems so low for the product that Auburn women have been putting on the court here.
Which I expect the product to continue to get better, and if that's the case, hopefully the demand is higher. And John, you're a businessman, you know this. Higher demand means higher prices, my friend.
You're correct. Here's an interesting way that another conference did that. So the Southland Conference about 10 years ago, so this is like Lamar, Northwestern State, Texas Arlington,
okay,
schools like that. What they did was they made everything in conference a doubleheader.
Interesting.
And charged a larger gate for it. And with the men's season tickets, you would always have close to a sellout or a sellout for men's and women's games every night.
Got you. That's the high school strategy, right? I mean, most high schools play the girls' game and then the boys' varsity game right after that. Or they'll do, I guess most of them probably do, well, I don't know. It just depends. I mean, you have JV girls, JV boys, varsity girls, varsity boys. That's typically how it goes. So, yeah, that makes sense.
It makes sense. It's an interesting concept. The only one that I could see, like, really – the only two programs I really see, or three, is selling out both. Well, Tennessee and South Carolina, maybe LSU if the men's product is better. But I think that's a great way in the age of NIL to really drum up interest for women's basketball, where you have one gate and you're going to have, you know, two products that are watched versus, quite frankly, one product that's watched in the current setting of most SEC schools.
That's fascinating. I would think, though, you would have to, and I'm sure you had this in your brain, too, to where you would play the women's game first just because that's typically the lesser attended game. So that way people can almost treat it as a, I hate to say this, but treat it as a pregame, right, where you can get in there and start to kind of come in as your own, as you want to, and catch most of the game or the second half or whatever, and then the stadium or arena is full by the time the men played, whereas in the reverse way, the stadium would be full, and then people who didn't want to stay would just leave, and then it would kind of defeat the purpose.
It would, and last point, and I'll let you go. Auburn actually used to do this back in the early 90s, for, like, if Southeast Louisiana and, I'm making something up, Murray State were in for women's and men's, they would do a doubleheader.
Huh. So, okay.
Interesting. Thank you much for your time.
Yeah, appreciate the call, John. Always great to hear from you, man. 334-321-1390. I'm sure there's a reason they don't do that. I don't know. If somebody has a legitimate reason why, let me know. I guess the idea and the hope is that one day, whatever school it is, whether it's Auburn or Alabama or whoever, right, the hope is that there will become a day like a South Carolina or an LSU or UConn, right, where they can sell out both men and women's, and then you don't have to worry about that. But at places, other places that are not in the top 0.5% of women's college basketball, which is getting better. We saw for years, right? It was the same three schools that just dominated the sport. That is now changing. But I feel that you could do that. Heck, that's a way to grow the sport, right? That's a way to grow the fan base to recognize the fact that women play the sport too. And take Auburn, for example. That's a program that is getting extremely better, has taken so many strides in the right direction over the last handful of years, and have become a legitimate program in women's college basketball in the SEC, have taken the steps to become an NCAA tournament team. They made the tournament last year, and they expect to do that again this year and try to win a game in the tournament. And so that's the hope, I feel like, and maybe that's the only drawback to that. But I don't know, John. That's a good idea, and I'm sure there are reasons that I don't know about that they don't do that. But I want to get back to what I was talking about before going to break, and I was looking at it during the break again. Auburn's men's schedule, the basketball schedule, is so disadvantageous. Is that how you say that? Sure, we'll roll with it. That it's so against Auburn, because here, I'm going to read you this. Are you ready? This is what Auburn does throughout the entire schedule. Not going to name the opponent, just going to say where it's at. All right. Home, road, road, home, road, home, road, road, home, home, road, road, home, 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 road, road, home. A lot of alternating in there. A lot of play one at home, back out on the road. Play one at home, back out on the road. A lot of times, you play back-to-back road games. You start the season with that in games 2 and 3. You have it again in late January, early February. You do it again in the middle of February. You do it again in the beginning of March. And I understand that the schedule lays out to where you're going to have back-to-back road games. That makes sense. But the fact of the matter is, there's only two individual situations where Auburn plays back-to-back home games. February 4th and 8th versus Oklahoma and Florida. And then a three-game home stretch, February 19th, 22nd, 26th to Arkansas, Georgia, and Ole Miss. And I'm not counting that as two separates. That's one lumped together. So at the end of the day, you got to play the games on your schedule. I get that. I mean, you got to play what's in front of you. But I just feel like Auburn lost out on some things here. And, man, the road trips are not easy. Texas, South Carolina, Ole Miss, Vandy, which Auburn does not play well in, Bama, Kentucky, and Texas A&M. Those are not easy games. But on the flip side, Auburn gets some really, really cool home games. You get Missouri at home to start the season. You get Tennessee at home on a Saturday night, mind you. Saturday night game against Tennessee inside of Neville Arena. You get Oklahoma inside of Neville, which I know we played them a few years ago, but this will be in SEC play. Florida's at home on a Saturday afternoon. Arkansas's here on a Wednesday night. And then Bama comes back on a Saturday afternoon to end the regular season. I'm excited for it, man. I really, really am. We're going to talk basketball, football, and who else or who other knows? I don't know. With Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network. He joins us coming up next here on ESPN 106.7.
With Jacob Goetz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
We're 30 minutes into hour number one here on the Thursday edition of On the Line here on ESPN 106.7. I'm your man, Jacob Goetz, and joining us on the phone lines as he does every Thursday at 2:30, even during a bye week. That just shows the buy-in and dedication that this guy has for what he does and for what we do as well. Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network with us here on ESPN. Brad, great to talk to you, my man. Are you enjoying the bye week a little bit?
Ain't no bye weeks in this business, Jacob, as you know. You're doing shows, we're doing work, there's plenty to be done, and the football team's doing work, too. They're not just kind of sitting around idle, even though it's called an idle week sometimes. It's an open date Saturday, but there's plenty of work that's being done, so we're glad to come on and talk with you as always.
Well, let's rewind just a little bit. I know we have typically moved on at this point, but I do want to get your thoughts on last weekend where Auburn did make their first road trip. They go and play Georgia. I think a really solid game, just wasn't good enough against a top five Georgia team. Your takeaways from what happened in Athens last Saturday?
Yeah, still not to the point to where you're competing with a top five team. Too many mistakes. Now, closer than... You know, like, regardless of what the final score said, Auburn played closer to Georgia's level than they have in Athens in several trips there, maybe since 2016. But, you know, to win a game like that and just to be a high-functioning team, you got to get off the field on third down when you got Georgia three and out on their first drive of the game. And instead, much like what happened against Arkansas, a penalty keeps them on the field. They take advantage of it. They go score a touchdown and you're playing from behind. The miscommunication on the fourth and one play, just looking like they're not quite in sync offensively to the level that you're going to have to be to go win games on the road. They're not there, and they are closer. I mean, again, I think if you watch the team from last year to this year, they're closer. If you watched them the last several times they've gone to Athens, they're closer. But, man, they don't give you any points for closer. And so, you know, it gives them a measuring stick, and they know the areas they still have to put a lot of focus on.
And I know that you and I are not college coaches. We don't get paid like it. We don't get asked about it that way. But with it being a bye week and Auburn seemingly fixing some of the things they struggled with early on, what can Auburn do in the bye week to try and prepare for yet another road game next week?
Yeah, I think Coach Freeze alluded to this on postgame radio with us, which people would hear on Wings 94.3 on the Regions Bank postgame show. But he said, you got to coach them a little harder. And I kind of like the sound of that. I think it's okay to push guys and demand more out of these highly trained, highly disciplined athletes. And I think they want it. And so he said, you know, you've never coached a good player that didn't want to be pushed hard. So if that hasn't been happening or if they're taking it up to another level, I think that's okay. I think hunger and intensity and discipline go from the top down. And so I think if the head coach is showing a little more of that intensity and hunger and fire, then my thought would be that probably doesn't hurt going forward. You know, the head coach has a clear plan, and everybody you talk to around the program says he's put the culture in place that is needed to build upon And so the next step is you go from building the culture to being able to actually go in and execute. And that happens in your preparation weeks. You know, what happens on game day is just the end result. And if you're waiting on game day to execute for the first time, or if you're waiting until game day to be hungry or focused or intense or any of those words, you've waited too late. All that stuff happens during preparation. So all that happens during the open date week and otherwise.
We look at the back half of this schedule, Auburn 2-4. Of course, both of those wins were against Alabama A&M and New Mexico, losses to California, Arkansas, Oklahoma, and Georgia. And the back half of the schedule, right, at Missouri, at Kentucky, home for three straight against Vandy, UL Monroe, and A&M before you go and take on Alabama in Tuscaloosa for the Iron Bowl. Two-part question here, Brad. What should the expectations be for Auburn in the back half, and then what would be a successful back half of the season for Auburn?
I have decided, Jacob, that I'm going to sidestep that question by answering it this way.
Okay.
For the rest of the year, I'm not looking at this team in terms of a total record or in terms of a projection that's any more than 1 week at a time. And I think that's where the team should – I think that's the way to look at it. We have seen on Auburn's schedule and other teams' schedule that what happens in 1 week has absolutely – nothing to do with what happens the previous week. South Carolina beats Kentucky. They lose to LSU the very next week. Alabama beats Georgia, loses to Vanderbilt the very next week. Vanderbilt comes off of a near miss against, or they start their year with wins over Virginia Tech and Alcorn State. They're 2-0, and then they lose at Georgia State and then almost beat Missouri the next week. 1 week has nothing to do with the next. So, you know, trying to predict what's going to happen in six games, I just don't know that you can do that. Now, I look at Missouri and I say, is it a winnable game? Yes. And so I think that's the focus. Is Kentucky a winnable game? One game at a time? Yeah. Is Vanderbilt winnable? Yep. ULM? Yep. Like every game, including Texas A&M and Alabama left on the schedule, is a winnable game, as were Cal and Arkansas and Oklahoma. And if you'd gotten a few more plays, Georgia. So every one of them is winnable. Each individual game is winnable from here on out.
And I feel that it's this season, it's that way more than ever, right, Brad? I mean, it just seems that college football has been in such a frenzy through the first handful of weeks, which I know Auburn's on a bye week this week, but it makes this upcoming slate this weekend even that much more exciting with massive, massive games, right? Texas, Oklahoma, Penn State, USC, Ohio State, Oregon. I mean, this is such a big weekend around college football, and anybody getting married this weekend, I'm sorry, man, you may not have anybody show up to that reception.
Yeah, like Ohio State and Oregon, you know, those teams are going to the playoff regardless of what happens in that game. Ole Miss, LSU, I'm not so sure. Ole Miss loses, they're probably not going because they still got Georgia on the schedule. They get Oklahoma. They've got Arkansas, which looks a lot more formidable now than it has in the past. So that's a huge, huge game. Texas, Oklahoma, you think Texas is a prohibitive favorite. They're 14-point favorite in the game, but they were last year, and Oklahoma beat them. So it's just so very interesting that when you have all these teams that are amalgamations of teams, like they're not guys with roots in your program, you can't really look at – it's just so hard to predict what's going to happen in 1 week based on what happened on the previous week or even a season ago, even more so, you know, going back a full season.
Did you just use the word amalgamation?
I did. Sure did.
What in the world? What does that even mean?
Amalgamation, like a combination, a putting together of different elements.
Oh, I've never heard that word in my entire life. And I have a journalism degree, Brad.
Amalgamation is the action, process, or result of combining or uniting.
Okay, I'll take your word for it. That wow, that's why Brad Law makes the big bucks, ladies and gentlemen. That is why he is a part of the Auburn Sports Network. They hired him for his vocabulary terminology, and it comes to fruition on ESPN 106.7. Brad, we are less than a month away officially now from the start of Auburn basketball in the regular season. We know practice is underway. We understand that there are some things that they'll do between now and the season opener, but November 6th, they have Vermont inside of Neville Arena, and now we have the schedule, we know who we're playing, where we're playing, and tip-off times for the 2024 and 2025 season.
Yeah, it's getting close. I love it. 4 weeks from yesterday is the first regular season game. Don't just get a ton of games inside Neville Arena this year, and so I think each one of those opportunities, you know, we talk about it with football, how you only have 8 opportunities in a year at most to see Auburn football at home. Well, you only got a handful. Like, there's 3 regular season games at home in the month of November. There's only 3 in the month of December. So you're talking about 6 home games this year before conference play. So that in and of itself is exciting. And then, you know, how much is this team, which expects to be in the top 10 nationally every year? That's where the expectation is for this program. You know, how will they... how will this amalgamation of Tigers fare against the schedule early on in the year with games against Houston and Iowa State and maybe North Carolina and Duke and Ohio State and Purdue before you get into conference play? It's going to be fun.
Yeah, and you bring up the lack of home games. That's what I was talking about before I had you on, is the fact that there's only 2 individual instances in SEC play where Auburn has back-to-back home games. You have the games against Oklahoma and Florida in February 4th and 8th, and then a set of 3 straight home games in late February. Other than that, it's alternating, or you're on the road for several games in a row. It just seems odd to see it that way.
It is interesting that you have 4 instances of back-to-back road games, and only the 2 instances of back-to-back home games. And I guess that starts, or it's that way, because Auburn both starts and ends its season at home. That first home game in the league, or the first game in the league, is at home against Missouri. Last game in the league is Alabama. So, you know, you got 16 other games to fill, and you know, plus 2 of those are on the road. So, it's got to be that way, which is all right. That's fine. I mean, I look at Texas and South Carolina. Both those are going to be big-time environments, but it's not insurmountable. LSU, Ole Miss, fine. Vandy and Alabama, fine. Kentucky, Texas A&M is your tougher. Look, the way that schedule ends with at Kentucky, at Texas A&M, and then Alabama at home, that's a whale of a way to go into the month of March. If you can win a couple of those ball games, finish the regular season strong, you're going to have some serious momentum going into the tournament.
The home games I highlight: January 25th, Saturday night against Tennessee inside of Neville Arena, Saturday afternoon on February 8th against Florida, and then the one you mentioned, or you have Arkansas coming in on a Wednesday night as well, and then the season finale against Alabama. I mean, those are really, really awesome matchups, and that Alabama game, Brad, could come down if both seasons play out the way we expect them to, which doesn't mean a whole lot, but if they do, that could become one of the biggest games to be ever played inside of that building.
No question. Yeah, because both those teams have sights on getting a double bye in the SEC tournament. And so if you're talking about playing Saturday to Friday, perhaps, if you get a win in that game or claiming a regular season championship, I love that. Love that it's the last game of the regular season and probably senior day and those types of things. I love the fact that Tennessee and Arkansas are night games. You mentioned them, January 25th and February 19th. That place is going to be up for grabs and with the Arkansas game on the 19th, Auburn will be coming off back-to-back road games. So first time they'll have been at home in 11 days. Arkansas and Coach Cal coming in, a chance to get some momentum as you head toward the last part of the season. That's going to be phenomenal, as it always is inside the arena.
basketball season less than a month away. Of course, you'll have all those games on the Auburn Sports Network. They'll be on Wings 94.3. And while there's no football this Saturday, they will be back next Saturday when Auburn football is on the road at Missouri. Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network. He's with me every Thursday right here on ESPN 106.7. Tell the people what they need to know since it is a bye week. You guys, you claim you're going to work, but I know you got to take a little time off before you get into the back half. So tell people what they need to know with the bye week and into next week.
Yeah, no, I'm going to take off Saturday. I ain't going to do any work on Saturday, that's for sure. But and I'm not going to any weddings or anything else either. I'm going to watch a great deal of football, I think, and play outside with the kids on Saturday.
My man.
We'll be back at it with Tiger Talk Monday night over on Wings 94.3. We'll have interviews with Coach Freeze. We'll talk to Butch Thompson about fall baseball as well on Monday's Tiger Talk. So check that out. Follow AU Sports Network on social media and stay connected with everything we got going on.
Well, enjoy your Saturday off, Brad. You deserve it. You guys are doing a fantastic job, and you'll be back at it the rest of this week and next week. I know you will.
You got it. Absolutely. War Eagle.
War Eagle. That's Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network. Joins me every Thursday right here on ESPN 106.7. 2:30 each and every week, telling you everything you need to know with the Auburn Sports Network. Again, nothing on Saturday, right? Wings will be wide open with no game day on Wings, no Tiger tailgate show, no football broadcast because there is no game. So they'll be back on Monday for Tiger Talk, and we'll pick back everything up next week. 334-321-1390. That's the number to get you through to me. Quick segment when we come back, because to start hour number two, Auburn High School's head football coach Keith Etheridge will be with me right at 3 o'clock. We'll talk about the huge win Auburn High had a week ago at Central Phoenix City and talk about the game coming up tomorrow against Smith Station. That'll be at 3 o'clock. So one more segment as we wrap up hour number one after this.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7, online at ESPNAU.com, or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Back inside the studio here at ESPN 106.7 as we wrap up hour number one. Thanks to Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network joining us as he does every Thursday at 2:30. Let's get to the phone lines here quickly. Try to get this in before we get to our top of the hour break. 334-321-1390. Terry, you're on the line, man. Happy Thursday.
Happy Thursday, Jacob. I wish people would just quit. So I said this on Doug's show earlier. Just quit using the struggling comment about Auburn's office. Auburn's office is not struggling. It just stinks or it sucks or whatever terminology you want to use.
Oh, for Auburn football. Okay, so you're giving up on the fact that they can get better. You just think they're bad altogether.
Yeah, they're bad altogether. It's Hugh Freeze trying to force a square peg in a round hole, and it's not going to work. And I made the point several times, and I'm not sure it would be any better with this guy, but Peyton Thorne was not their first choice. Okay?
From the portal?
That's the truth of it. That's just the truth of it. And I feel sorry for the guys like Eugene Asante, some of the guys that are playing their hearts out and deserve a lot better than a 2-4 start.
Yeah, I mean, I think it is very evident that this offense that Hugh Freeze has ran for a long time, it does work, right? It has worked before with the right quarterback, with the right guys in the system that understand it and can perform. And I think it's quite obvious that this system is not going to work with the guys in the room, which is why you've heard me say this, Terry. The system has to change, at least for now, until you get somebody in the room that understands it.
Or is that a guy refusing to give in? He's just stuck on what he wants to do and forget about it. I don't want to make adjustments, because that's like saying Phil Jackson only won because he had, you know, Scottie Pippen and Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, Shaquille O'Neal.
Yeah, I mean, it's very, and I...
He won because he was a great coach.
Right, I hate to say this, it's very Gus Malzahn-esque, isn't it?
It's
I don't know if this is the case, it's just what it appears to be, right? It's what it looks like, is, man, turn around and hand the ball to 27. It ain't that hard.
Yeah. Give the ball to that big 240-pound running back you got sitting on the sideline not doing a thing.
Yeah.
And when it was third and one, don't run a pass play, don't run a wildcat formation, which is the stupidest thing I've ever witnessed.
Yeah, I mean, it seems a lot of the fan base is to that point. It's like, okay, something has to give because what is happening is not working. I think it's getting better. I've continued to say the offense is good at moving the ball. They're just bad at scoring.
And, Jacob, you know who looks like a genius right now? And he would have been a absolutely horrible choice at Auburn, and that's Carnell Williams.
Why is that?
You got to go get your – if you want to be a head coach, you got to go be a head coach somewhere else first. You don't start being a head coach in the Southeastern Conference.
Oh, I agree. I was never on that train, ever.
Yeah, so – but I'm saying he understood that Auburn had to run the ball and be – I guarantee you they've got 27 that got the ball under him.
Yeah, you're probably right about that.
Yeah. Appreciate it, man. Take care.
Thanks so much, Terry. Have a great day. 334-321-1390. The offense is – as crazy as it sounds, that's the way that I describe it. And Hugh Freeze has described it that way. They are good at moving it. They're bad at scoring. They were bad at taking care of it for a while. They've seemed to clean that up. But, I mean, man, look at the stats here. Like, it really is baffling to see the fact that Auburn is a decent offense at moving the football. Let's get to the phones. We got about 30 seconds really quickly. You're on the line. Who am I speaking with?
This is Duke again.
Hey, Duke. You got about 30 seconds, man.
Okay. I'd have to respectfully disagree with Terry.
Okay.
I think he's doing a good job. I mean, this is the same offense everybody in the country is running in some form, RPO. Everybody's doing the same thing. We just don't have the quarterback and a left tackle.
Yeah, so you do think it's a quarterback problem. If Auburn had a better quarterback, it would work.
Right. I mean, I'm not totally agree with everything Freeze has done. Some of his decisions have been bad. I agree with that.
Sure.
But I think he's a man.
Okay, I like it. Duke, appreciate the call, man. And I think there's a lot of people in that camp. I really do. I think there's a lot of people that believe that. And I believe that Freeze is the man in terms of I've seen this team get better, I've seen their effort grow, and I've seen them get closer. But man, at the end of the day, you got to score to win. And Auburn's offense just isn't doing that right now. They've cleaned up the turnovers. They just got to get into the end zone a little bit more. All right, we're at our top of the hour break. Stick around. Hour number two coming up. We'll talk to Auburn High's head football coach, Keith Etheridge. That offense knows how to score. Believe me, I saw it last week in Phoenix City. The number one team in the state, their head coach, joins us to start hour two. Chris Gordy of Locked On SEC with us as well. We're through one. Stick around. Hour number two coming up.
Is an Auburn Network production. You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goins.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Thursday, everybody. Hope you're doing well as we get underway here in hour number two on ESPN 106.7. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. If you missed any of hour number one, be sure you go and catch up with the podcast. You'll find it on our station website at ESPNAU.com. You'll find our show, The Drive, there. Also, our SEC football challenge is there. So be sure that you get your picks in by tomorrow at midnight. We'll fill hours out on the show tomorrow for Free For All Friday. So be sure you can find all that at ESPNAU.com. In hour number one, we talked to Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network. Yes, it's a bye for Auburn football, but still plenty to talk about in terms of Auburn football. Got into some Auburn basketball as well. So that was in hour number one. Also looked at that Auburn basketball schedule a little bit as we now have tip-off times, TV locations, all that sort of stuff. So we're less than a month away from the start of Auburn basketball. Isn't that crazy to you? It really is wild. So all of that was in hour number one. Here in hour number two, we'll have Chris Gordy, host of the Locked On SEC podcast. He'll join us coming up in about 30 minutes or so. Talk about a huge week around the SEC a week ago and this one coming up this weekend. So excited to have Chris on, and we're about to get to the phone lines for our regular Thursday 3 o'clock guest. But before we do, I want to remind you that hour number two, each and every day here during On the Line on ESPN, is brought to you by our friends at the Orthopedic Clinic. The Orthopedic Clinic is East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care, with locations in Auburn and Opelika to better serve you. You can find them online at theorthoclinic.com. Let's get to the phone lines, because this guy joins us every Thursday at 3 o'clock, and he is the head coach of the number one team in the state of Alabama. Coach Keith Etheridge of Auburn High School football. Coach, good to hear from you, my man. Hope you're doing well.
What's going on, brother? Appreciate you, Jacob. That sounds good, number one team.
It's got a good ring to it. I think it flows really, really well.
Yeah, me too.
Well, man, you guys earned it. Let me tell you what, you and your team, your coaching staff, your players, everybody involved last week at Central Phoenix City on the road taking on the Red Devils, you all had to earn that victory over what was then the number one team in the state, and now you're the number one team in the state. Walk us through it, Coach. Tell us what happened a week ago over there in Phoenix City.
Well, you know, they got a great football team. You know, they've earned their spot. They've won the state championship. They were undefeated. You know, so we knew going in that it was going to be a really tough football game and one of those games where, you know, just it could be the last person with the ball ends up winning. You know, took a trip over there, had a great game plan. You know, our coaches did a great job all week, you know, instilling the game plan. And our kids just, you know, played really well, you know. And like I said, you know, it's 21-20 at halftime. And I told our guys, you know, we just got to make one more play than they make. You know, in the end, we got to make one more play than them. You know, we took care of the football. It's a really, really clean game. I thought that Central played a really good game, too. They took care of the football also. I don't think there was any turnovers in the game. I think, you know, both teams did a really good job of taking care of the football. You know, there was some – I had a couple penalties, you know, but we were able to overcome those and, you know, just got out of there with a win. You know, it's a big region win, a big win for our program. You know, we just got to – now we got to finish. We got to find a way to finish, you know, the region play and stuff like that if we want. We want a chance to win the region. We need to win two out of the next three. You know, we want to win all three, but we got to definitely win two out of the next three.
Auburn High goes over to Central, take down the Red Devils 38-33 last Friday night. And for anybody who was unable to be there or follow along with us over on Wings 94.3, it was back and forth, right, Coach? I mean, this was a game where you would score, they would score. You would score, they would score. And it was that way pretty much the whole way. And you and your team found yourselves down late in that second half, but found a way to come back and win, and a couple of big defensive stops. And how about Jackson Kilgore with maybe the biggest first down pickup of the season? That kid's got some heart, Coach.
Yeah, he's a winner. Jackson's a winner. He does a fantastic job for us. I think right now he's completing 77-78% of his balls. He's you know, getting the ball to the guys he needs to get it to, you know, distributing it all over the places, you know, getting everybody touches. You know, he's just doing a phenomenal job. You know, he's not only a great football player, he's a great leader. He's a great, you know, he's tenacious. You know, he's got that grit to him. He's what every coach wants in their quarterback, you know. So just really excited for him. You know, we knew that last play, you know, there wasn't no hesitation. We knew we get under center. And I don't know if they may have thought we were going to try to draw them off, but, you know, we got under center, got the snap, and Big U Botiford and Clem Walmack, Aiden Platt, Tucker Albin, and Trenton Pritchett, they got us that yard. You know, we needed half a yard, and I think we ended up getting two and a half, three, you know.
It was such a big play, and the game felt that it was riding on that. If he got it, game's over. If not, Central gets the football in pretty decent field position and had a chance to go and win the ball game at that point. And you guys walk out of there 38-33, final score. You were number two. They were number one. There was no secret on who would be the number one team in the state starting this week, and it's your undefeated Tigers team. Coach, what can you tell the guys this week, right? And games aside, just now the fact that you feel like you slayed the giant of Central, but there are still games to be played.
Oh yeah, we're nowhere near done. You know, we got Smith Station this week. You know, they got a really young team, you know, but we want to be prepared, you know. And then, of course, next week we play Carver Montgomery, who's, you know, they're sitting here 5-6-1, 5-1, 6-1, playing really good football right now. Got all kinds of athletes and weapons all over the field. And then we got Dothan, who's probably one of the, and you know, lost some really close games to some really good teams. And my friend Jed Kennedy's over there, the coach at Dothan, and he's one of the best coaches in the state.
Well, that Dothan team, yeah, I was going to tell people, don't let their record fool you. If there is fool's gold out there, and I guess the other way, right, the other way around, if there's a team that you just like, their record's terrible, Auburn, you know, anybody that plays them's got it. No, they've played all the best teams, Coach, within a score. I mean, that's a tough season finale that you guys have in a few weeks.
Oh, absolutely. You know, they're really tough season finale. You know, they're one of them teams who, right now, they're outside looking in on the playoffs, and you know, if they could end the season beating us, who's had a really, really good football season, you know, it would put some icing on their cake.
Auburn High School's head football coach Keith Etheridge joining us on the phone lines here on ESPN 106.7. Smith Station tomorrow, Carver Montgomery on the road next week, and Dothan in that season finale. But, man, you look around this region, too. I've said it. It's the toughest region in the state of Alabama, and I would put it up with any region in the country of high school football. This is a huge week outside of Auburn and Smith Station. You have Enterprise and Opelika, which that's gotten a little spicier. And then you have Central and Carver going on this week as well. I mean, two massive playoff implication type games, Coach.
Yeah, huge games. Those two huge games, and you're right, that has gotten a little bigger with some of the stuff that's going on. But the Opelika Enterprise game has gotten a little bigger. So, you know, I'm telling you, you know, there are no easy games in this region. You know, this region is brutal. There's going to be two really good football teams that'll be left out of the playoffs, and two teams that could probably have a chance at winning other regions. So, you know, it's just a brutal region, man. And, you know, you got to be ready week in and week out. And, you know, you never know. You never know. That's why you have to prepare like, you know, it's for the region championship every week.
I always like to ask this type of question as we get this late into the season. I know there was a game dropped off the schedule with weather, so you haven't played as many as you normally would. But through six games with three more to go, how's the team overall feeling health-wise, you know, physicality, things like that? I mean, this is a tough – we just talked about it. It's a tough region, tough games, and your non-conference – or non-region games, I should say, were no easy games. And so how's the team overall feeling going into this backstretch?
I think we're feeling pretty good. You're going to have bumps and bruises and be banged up a little bit. You may miss a guy here and there, but that's why you prepare the other guys or them behind those guys. You know, we gotta be prepared at every level. You know, and I think that I think as far as being 6-7 games in, we're in pretty good shape right now. I think that our guys are feeling good. I think that they've responded really well. I think they've done a good job keeping themselves, you know, taken care of and healthy. So, you know, we just got to continue doing what we're doing and continue to play in Auburn football. And just, you know, if we got bumps and the bumps and the bruises, got to take care of those.
Auburn High School hosting Smith Station tomorrow. That's over at Duck Sanford Stadium. Of course, you can catch the radio broadcast over on the Auburn High Sports Network on Wings 94.3. You mentioned that Smith Station team, very, very young. They are still searching for their first win, and I guarantee they'd love to get it against you guys. What can people see, or I guess expect to see, from Smith Station tomorrow, offensively, defensively? What are you guys preparing for tomorrow?
Well, you know, they've started running some double wing stuff, so they're running some option stuff, a lot of misdirection stuff. You know, their quarterback's playing, you know, really good, really tough kid. They got a pretty good little fullback who's hitting it up in there. They're a young football team. I mean, like you said, if they can, it would make their year to come in and pull off this upset after us just, you know, get the win against Central like we got last week. You know, I think that would put a feather in their cap. But we're going to make sure we do everything we can to make sure that don't happen. Looking forward to a great crowd tomorrow night and getting all the folks there for homecoming and just having a good time.
Yeah, you and I were talking about that earlier this morning. It's homecoming. I know coaches hate this type of stuff, right? They you understand it for the kids, but it's so many more distractions you've got to shut down with Spirit Week, and you've got pep rallies and dances and all that. I mean, what are you doing to keep the guys locked in this week with all the outside noise?
Well, we just tell them, you know, you get to play a game. You know, this is your time to all this other stuff is for all the other students. You get to play a football game, focus on winning the football game, because that's, you know, everybody's coming to see that football game. You know, you got to make sure everybody's homecoming good, and the way to do that is for us to go win a football game.
Well, I know you didn't back in your day. You didn't get involved in the homecoming stuff or prom, right, Coach? You were way too focused on other things, right?
Absolutely. I'm completely focused on the game.
Auburn High School's head football coach, Keith Etheridge. He's with me every Thursday at 3 o'clock here on ESPN 106.7. Coach, thanks so much for your time. Congratulations on the win a week ago. Excited to see you guys back out on the field tomorrow night. And for the first time this season, you're playing as the number one team in the state of Alabama. Good luck tomorrow night. And as always, go Tigers.
Thank you, Jay. Go Tigers.
Keith Etheridge, Auburn High School's head football coach, man. He is so much fun to talk to each and every week, and him and I get a chance to visit throughout the week as well and just get prepared for the game and giving me some more information on the broadcast and things like that. And he's so gracious with his time, too, because Friday nights he takes some time to talk to Jack during the halftime interview, post-game interview. I mean, he's a coach that you want to cover, man. He's somebody that you want to be around, and he's always confident. He's always excited. He's always fired up, and the guy you hear there is the guy you see every single day out in the community, and he is doing fantastic things right now with Auburn High School football, undefeated this season. They are 6-0 again. The seventh game, remember, it was a couple of weeks ago at Moody. It got waxed. It got canceled because of the weather, and so 6-0, trying to make it 7 tomorrow night when they host the Panthers of Smith Station. We will be on the air on the Auburn High Sports Network tomorrow. It'll be over on our sister station, Wings 94.3, pregame 6:30 and kickoff at 7. Looking forward to that. Other big games in the region, and then next week at Carver-Montgomery. If Auburn were to win tomorrow, a win over Carver would lock up the region, would make them region champs, the number one seed in the playoffs. But we'll focus on that next week as the Tigers got to take down the Panthers tomorrow at Duck Sanford Stadium. We'll take a break, come back, have a quick segment before Chris Gordy of Locked On SEC will join us on the phone lines as well. So if you're wanting to get in, give me a call, 334-321-1390. You can also text me in the on-the-line text box, that number 334-784-1067. Back after this on the Auburn Opelika Sports Leader, ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
We continue on here on the Thursday edition of On the Line here on ESPN 106.7. Thanks so much to Auburn High School's head football coach, Keith Etheridge. That guy is awesome. I mean, he is just, he's unbelievable to cover and to be around and to get to call the games for him and his program. And look, I've had a really blessed couple of schools to be a part of. Lee Scott for 2.5 years, and Christian Griffin doing a phenomenal job over there on the Lee Scott Sports Network. And getting to cover all the great coaches over there. Buster Daniel, of course, for Lee Scott football. And, man, Auburn High football just rocking and rolling right now with a 6-0 record. Smith Station this week at Carver Montgomery next week. Remember, they played the Crampton Bowl down there in Montgomery, so we'll be there next Friday. And then we will return home to take on Dothan. So that'll be the three-game stretch that Auburn will have for the end of the regular season. Lee Scott is back at home this week as well. Christian Griffin will be on the call. That'll be on AU100 over on 100.3 FM. So be sure you tune into that tomorrow, too. Kind of bounce back and forth. That is a really, really sneaky good Wadley team. I believe they're the number one team in 1A football. So it's not a region game for the Warriors, who dropped one they probably feel like they should have had a week ago. Well, they got to turn around and get ready for a feisty Wadley Bulldogs team coming in to Judd Scott Field tomorrow night. So that'll be on AU100, 100.3 FM. Or if you download the Radio Alabama app, you can listen to both games. Just go back and forth all in one place. You can listen to all of our ESPN shows there. If you really want to listen to Ben on AU on News Talk WANI, you're more than welcome to do that. Or you got the Donnie B Morning Show over there on Wings. I mean, we got a lot going on. And so you can listen to all of that in one place on the Radio Alabama app. Coming up in just a few minutes, Chris Gordy, host of the Locked On SEC podcast. He'll be joining us, as he does every Thursday, at 3:30. We're going to try and recap what was a wild weekend last week for the SEC in college football, but want to make sure we have plenty of time to talk about what's coming up in the SEC this weekend in college football, because was talking with Brad Law earlier. I said this the other day, and I completely agree. Ole Miss cannot afford to lose to LSU this weekend. They cannot afford it. I'll say it right now. Brad said it. I think I said it the other day, and if I did, I'll double down. If not, I'll steal it from Brad. Ole Miss, if they lose to LSU on Saturday night in Baton Rouge, they're done. They're toast. They're two and barbecue, as Uncle T-Bone would say. They're done. I don't think they make the college football playoff, because we were already talking, right, preseason, about an Ole Miss team would be on the fence as a two-loss team. They still have Oklahoma at Arkansas, which has gotten a lot better, Georgia and Florida on that schedule. Like, I don't see Ole Miss winning out if they lose to LSU. I just don't. And I think the only way that they would get into the college football playoff as a two-loss team is, of course, if they were to beat Georgia. And so, I'll say it right now. If they lose to LSU, Ole Miss is done. And LSU, on the other hand, right, because remember, they're a one-loss team too, but theirs is a little bit of a different scenario because their one loss was to Southern California. Remember, that's an LSU team. Believe it or not, here in the middle of October, God, so weird. The middle of October, they've played one. Yes, one SEC game, and we're going into the second weekend of October. The rest of their schedule, Ole Miss at home this weekend, at Arkansas, at Texas A&M, home for Bama, at Florida, home for Vandy, and home for Oklahoma. Can we just be honest here? Can we just be real for a second? LSU should not have beaten South Carolina. The Gamecocks had every opportunity to win that, and some believe the referees took it from them. That's up for you to decide. But LSU is not winning out on this schedule. Even if they lose to Ole Miss this Saturday, there's a good chance that they could lose at A&M. There's a good chance they lose to Bama. There's a good chance they could lose to Oklahoma. And Arkansas, Florida, and Vanderbilt are no gimmies for that LSU team. And what have they done to impress anybody so far this season? LSU has done nothing to show me that they're legit, that they are a competitor early on. And remember, if you listen to this show, this was a team that I said was a dark horse for the college football playoff out of the Southeastern Conference. Because LSU's schedule isn't all that bad, and I thought they had five gimme wins just to roll right off the rip. Now, they got 4 out of 5. But they just haven't come together like I thought they would. defense has been better. Not great, but better. The offense has been good, not great. I don't know. I need to see more. I'm still in see it to believe it mode with Brian Kelly and LSU. So you've got them hosting Ole Miss on a Saturday night in Baton Rouge. I'm sure nothing weird will happen down there, right? Because nothing weird happens when the sun goes down there. You have South Carolina on the road at Alabama, who has supposedly had the best week of practice of any team that's ever played football, is what Kalen DeBoer is saying. Sounds like Alabama, they've got the 1-0 mentality. They're ready to play. They're ready to win. Okay, dude. Okay, we'll see. Isn't that what everybody says? Don't they all say that after a loss, especially one that you weren't supposed to have on the schedule? Oh, we're focused. The players have taken responsibility. They're ready to go. They're focused on South Carolina. The season's still in front of us. Yeah, but we're not going to let them forget about that loss to Alabama that or that loss to Vanderbilt that quickly. Absolutely not. And if you look at it from the Alabama perspective in terms of a college football playoff, is it crazy to say that their odds are making it are in danger right now? Is that crazy to say? Because I want you to look at the rest of this schedule that they have. And again, we're going to talk about all this with Chris Gordy coming up in just a few minutes. South Carolina at home this weekend. They still make a trip to Tennessee, which I know they lost to Arkansas. Missouri comes into town to Tuscaloosa. I know they look terrible. You go to LSU. We're going to find out a lot about them this weekend. That's still in Baton Rouge, though. At Oklahoma, which a lot of people have completely written off that Oklahoma team, but remember, that's a 4-1 Oklahoma team, and they have Texas this weekend. We're going to learn a lot about the Sooners as well. And then Alabama, of course, finishes with Auburn in the Iron Bowl. So Bama cannot afford many more slip-ups either. But don't worry. They've got the A. They've got the name. They've got the brand. They could lose 5 games in an expanded college football playoff. They'll find a way to get in. Don't you worry about that. So, sorry, Alabama fans. I didn't mean to scare you. I didn't mean to worry you. You guys are fine. No, nothing can go wrong. Everything is going to be fine in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. How about Texas-Oklahoma, the Red River rivalry? One that we always keep up with, right, as college football fans. But now we have to pay a little bit extra attention to this because it has SEC implications. It has SEC standings, college football playoff implications as well. I know, again, Oklahoma, nobody's super high on them due to a ton of injuries they have on that team. And their schedule is just miserable, man. Texas this weekend, at Ole Miss still on there, at Missouri, Alabama, at LSU. I don't care if Oklahoma wins this game. They're not making the college football playoff. I think we're going to learn a lot more about Texas as the number one team in the country playing against Oklahoma. This is neutral site. Remember that. If you're Texas, you're fine. You're good, right? You win, you're good. You lose, yeah, you still got everything in front of you. But they'll play a little bit different this weekend. They'll play a little bit harder than that because this is the Red River rivalry. And we're going to talk about that and a whole lot more with Chris Gordy. He hosts the daily Southeastern Conference podcast. It's called Locked On SEC, and he joins us coming up next.
With Jacob Goetz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
We've got 30 more minutes here on the Thursday edition of On the Line here on ESPN 106.7, and the guest-heavy show continues as we get to the phone lines with Chris Gordy of the Locked On SEC podcast. Chris, I was going to ask you to come on for an hour today because I feel like that's about as much time as we would need to talk about everything going on around the Southeastern Conference, man. Hope you're doing well.
I'm good, man. Yeah, it's funny. I do a lot of interviews all over, and usually by the time we get to Thursday, we've kind of put the last week behind us, and we're all into previewing the next week. But, yeah, this is the first time that I mean, people still want to talk heavily about what happened last weekend because it was so historic. Yeah, look, anytime Alabama loses, it's a good day for 15 other fan bases in the SEC. So, look, when Bama's good, we'll talk them up, sure. But when they lose, there are 15 other fan bases in the conference ready to dance on their grave. So, you know, it was a good day.
And nobody danced more than the ones wearing orange and blue in this town because there's nothing else to cheer about other than Alabama losing. So, you know, it was a mixed feeling Saturday.
Yeah, and you know, I got a couple diehard Bama buddies who were trying to do the whole, well, you know, Auburn lost to Georgia. We beat Georgia, so they got no room to speak. I was like, dude, you lost to Vandy. Like, that's just, it's unacceptable. I know Vandy's improved, but in no world ever should Alabama be losing to Vanderbilt in any time on the football field, any time.
So, I mean, does this, because I saw people that were saying this is the worst loss in Alabama history and Kalen DeBoer should just, you know, go and shut himself and never step foot inside Brian Day. I mean, let's take a step back here. Where does this rank, or can we put this into perspective on what really happened, the fact that Vanderbilt beat Alabama as the number one team in the country?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what's pretty historic. I mean, it would have been one thing if Bama lost to Georgia the week before and then they lose to Vanderbilt. It would have been like, well, I guess this Bama team's just not very good. But to beat Georgia at home and then to be ranked the number one team in the country, and then as a 22.5-point favorite at Vanderbilt, you lose to them? No, I mean, that's historic, and that's going to get talked about, and it will be talked about for years and years. And even if Kalen DeBoer rebounds, and they win the championship, it'll still be a loss we will talk about for decades to come because it was that crazy. I also think it's a little bit disrespectful to Vanderbilt. This is a hell of a team, and I love all the behind-the-scenes videos that Vanderbilt's been putting out this week. Like, Clark Lee has got that team. He's got them bought in. I talked about it years from now. We'll look back on some of the greatest transfers in the history of college football. I think Joe Burrow at LSU will be up there. Cam Newton will be up there. But I think we may look back and say Diego Pavia's up there from what he has brought to that team. And you got to include Jerry Kill and Tim Beck coming over from New Mexico State with them, along with their tight end Eli Stowers, who was awesome on Saturday. But really, that foursome, those four guys alone, think about this, took Vanderbilt from a team that couldn't win a conference game last year to beating number one Alabama this year. I think we will look back on it and say that group coming over from New Mexico State, hey, look, for Auburn fans, it makes you look back on that loss a little bit less angrily now. You go, maybe it was just that's a damn good football player with some damn good coaches that, you know, literally left New Mexico State to go to Vandy, and look at what they've done.
Auburn fans can't get past the fact that he's playing at Vanderbilt and not at Auburn, Chris.
Well, that's a whole nother discussion. I mean, hindsight's 20/20. If Hugh Freeze, like, put it this way. If you would oppose the Hugh Freeze, look, Diego Pavia will come to Auburn, but he's going to bring Jerry Kill and Tim Beck with him, and you just kind of sit back and let them run the offense. Would he have gone for that? Hell no. So, you know, I think there's something to be said there. And who's to say if Diego Pavia was there right now? Look at the way Hugh's been calling plays this year. You think Diego would be having the year he's having there?
There it is. We made it 3 minutes, Chris. That's impressive, my man.
I mean,
you're right, though.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how impressed have you been with Hugh's offensive prowess?
About a three. Yeah. I mean, it's not good. Not good. Well, other games that happened a week ago around the SEC, and we are going to move on because I know we have a ton to get to, but it was just upset city everywhere, right? Arkansas takes down Tennessee as a 2-touchdown dog. A&M blasts Missouri and kind of shows them what they were. Ole Miss did what they were supposed to do. Florida actually beat somebody, which is pretty crazy. I mean, the SEC is as wide open as it's ever been, Chris.
Yeah, it is. And by the way, I give Auburn a little bit of credit. I mean, they kept that thing close for a while, and then the gates kind of broke open. But, you know, it was a one-score game in the second half. That's the best you can ask for in a tough, hostile road environment. But, no, it's funny. I watched that A&M beat down of Missouri early in the day, and I was like, man, that's going to be my lead story for Monday's show. Missouri, you were a bunch of frauds, and A&M turns out is pretty good. And you look at A&M's remaining schedule and you go, my God, this thing really sets up for A&M to possibly go 10-2 and, you know, maybe even make the playoff. But by the afternoon, that wasn't even a top three story in the conference with everything else that transpired. But No, big win for Arkansas. I don't know why. I was just getting the vibe all day that Arkansas was going to pull off the upset. So I ran to my betting website that I go on and threw some money on Arkansas straight up, because I just kept feeling like, man, night game in Fayetteville, it just felt like Arkansas was going to do something special. And, man, the whole Tennessee and Josh Heupel and Nico to just 14 points, that was pretty huge.
Yes, it was. And as crazy as last week was, this week around the SEC has every chance to be just as special. We talk with Chris Gordy, host of the Locked On SEC podcast. Good news is, Chris, you can't pick against Auburn because they don't play this week.
Yeah, it's very true. you know what's funny? If you're just looking at point spreads, the one game that's the most intriguing is Ole Miss at LSU, right? I mean, Ole Miss has still been sitting as a favorite. It's still sitting at about 3.5. I think everybody's jumping on LSU's bandwagon now saying, you know, it's the same thing. Like I said last week, Fayetteville at night, it's a tough place to play. LSU, Death Valley at night is a tough place to play. And then you combine it with the fact that Ole Miss has not won there since 2008. Lane Kiffin's never won in Baton Rouge. So, you know, you got that going for him. And by the way, I didn't realize this either. Brian Kelly has only lost one game in Death Valley, and that was 2 years ago.
Really?
To Hendon Hooker's Tennessee team. Yeah, all of Brian Kelly's losses at LSU have come either neutral site or on the road.
I guess I didn't know that either.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's where I keep looking at this and going, what does Vegas know? I mean, I know we like Jackson Dart and Ole Miss, but let's also be real. As impressed as we were when they were hanging 70 on Furman, you also got to be less impressed that they only scored in SEC play. They scored 17 in a loss to Kentucky and 27 on the road against South Carolina. That ain't exactly blowing the doors off people. So, yeah, man, the more and more I start to look at this, like everything favors LSU, I feel like. You know, it sounds like Trey Harris, Ole Miss's, you know, top receiver who leads the country in receiving yards. It sounds like he may not go in this one. And so, yeah, man, it wouldn't shock me if this line comes down even more the closer we get to kickoff. But there's a weird distinction about this week, Jacob, and I need to look up the exact numbers, and I'm going to tweet it out later. The three big games this weekend, Ole Miss, LSU, Texas, Oklahoma, and Florida at Tennessee, are three rivalry games that have been largely one-sided for the last 20 years, basically. Georgia, Florida's won, I think, 17 of the last 19 against Tennessee. LSU is like 16-6 in their last 24 against Ole Miss. And what is it? I think Oklahoma's won something like 15 of the last 20 against Texas. These are three very one-sided rivalries. And all three of those teams I just mentioned that have dominated that rivalry are all underdogs this weekend.
How about that?
So it feels like what's going to break through? Either this is a year of these teams are just really good and they're history doesn't matter, or history comes back to haunt these teams and Tennessee loses at home to Florida. Texas loses to an inferior Oklahoma team and Ole Miss loses with one of their best teams at LSU. One of those is going to happen this weekend, I just feel like, because that's what history has shown us.
Yeah, there's so many different storylines in all those games, and that's fascinating that you bring that up. I mean, everybody loves to talk about, right, a Texas team that made a run to the national championship game that lost to Oklahoma last year. You look at Tennessee, if they drop this game against Florida, I mean, playoff hopes seem to be shattered. Same thing for Ole Miss. I've claimed they cannot afford to lose in Baton Rouge. I mean, you're talking about possible chaos around the SEC this weekend, and I absolutely love it.
Well, look, I mean, this is the reality of the conference. And I said this to somebody else. This feels like a year, and I think Mississippi State is so bad, I think they're exempt from this case. But really, the other 15 teams, any one of those 15 could beat one of the other 15 on any given weekend, and we would not be shocked. I don't know what the word is, but like, you know, parity in a league, there's that much parity in the SEC this year that there is not much separating the number one team from the number 15 team. And, you know, wouldn't shock me as this thing plays out the next couple weeks and maybe Mississippi State, as bad as they are, and I do think they're the worst team in the SEC this year, they might pull off an upset and beat somebody they're not supposed to beat. I don't think that's going to happen this weekend against Georgia. Georgia's a 35-point favorite.
Yeah.
But, you know, on any given Saturday, Auburn could beat anybody left on their schedule. Vanderbilt can beat anybody left on their schedule. And it just makes you go, like, what did we do before the season, Jacob? We ran to the schedule and we penciled in W's. You go back and look at your remaining schedule for every SEC team, and you got to get the eraser because you cannot just pencil in W's. When you thought, oh, a road trip to Arkansas, that's a win. It's not a win anymore. Oh, a home game against Kentucky, that's a win. That's not a win anymore. You can't just pencil in the W's this year.
Do you feel like we're seeing that across college football as a whole? I mean, I'm sure to an extent, but are we seeing that as bad in other major conferences, ACC, Big Ten, Big 12? I mean, is it as bad as what we're seeing in the SEC? And it's a good thing. I hate to phrase it the wrong way, but are we seeing that across college football as a whole in your mind?
Well, we saw in the Big Ten last week, right? I mean, you know, we saw a couple of big teams go down. I mean, USC lost to Minnesota?
Yeah.
Michigan, you know, Michigan was top 10. They lost on the road at Washington. You know, Miami should have lost at Cal. I mean, that was a miracle that they got out of there with the win. But, you know, UNLV lost at home. They were a top 25 team, you know, at home. So I just think, I think people have brought up the NIL and the transfer portal stuff has really changed the landscape of college football, where it used to be the elites and the haves and the have-nots. And the have-nots have really leveled the playing field when it comes to, you know, college football. So, you know, look at Vanderbilt. Like I said, it took a Diego Pavia to raise them from the ashes, and that quickly you can go from the outhouse to the penthouse.
Chris, can I ask you a question? Why in the world is Missouri going to UMass in the middle of October?
Nobody knows. It's one of those questions. Why is water wet? I mean, we will never know the answer to, but. Yeah, it's
so weird.
As my buddy Chris Marler said, he's like, did they lose a bet? Like, was there something that they bet on the line? The funniest part about all this, Jacob, is they are playing this game. It is at UMass. I have no idea where UMass is. I think it's Amherst.
Yeah, that's right.
They're a terrible football team. They are 1-5 on the season, and they play their home games at Warren McGurk Alumni Stadium. Now, I had to look it up. Warren McGurk didn't even go to UMass. He graduated from Boston College. So, I mean, I don't think I've ever seen that, but I think that's a funny trend we should start, where a guy graduates from one school and then just puts his naming rights on a stadium to a school he didn't even attend.
What'd he do? Just donate a bunch of money to get his name on the building?
Well, he ended up being an administrator there later in life, but I still think it's funny. Like, look, if you're going to put your name on a football stadium or field, you better have went to that school, at least for a little bit.
Especially to be a graduate of a team or a university that's basically in the same town. Boston College? Like, it's in the same area as UMass.
Yeah, it would be like if Cam Newton was the school president at Alabama in a decade, and then, like, they named the field after Cam Newton. Like, just, you wouldn't do that. He didn't play there.
No, that I didn't know that. But hey, man, that's why you're the best, and that's why you host a show called Locked On SEC. I need a hot prediction as we get out of here. A prediction for this weekend of college football. It can be SEC or non. I know it. We just talked about college football being the unpredictable sport right now. But what do you think happens this weekend? Because there are big games in the SEC, but then we have the obvious one outside the SEC as well.
Yeah, I think, like, just a prediction for this weekend, I think Kentucky-Vanderbilt ends up being the best game of the weekend. Like, that one has been sitting – the disrespect to Vanderbilt, they just beat Alabama from the start of the game to the finish. If you watch that game, it was not a fluke. Vanderbilt dominated the game from the start to the finish, and I love on his coach's show the other night, Kalen DeBoer said, you know, I mean, look, we just ran out of time. I said, Kalen, if you had another 5 minutes of that clock, Vanderbilt was about to score on you again. They were not showing any signs of slowing
and
down.
You were not touching
the
football. Yeah.
They were moving the ball down the field on you again. You couldn't get the ball back because you couldn't stop them. So, and then the disrespect to see Vanderbilt as a 2-touchdown underdog at Kentucky, and I'm going, what the hell is Kentucky accomplished? Other than you beat Ole Miss. But last I checked, Brock Vandergriff still can't throw the football. They can't score points. So, that one is going to be fascinating to me. I would not be shocked if that one doesn't come down to the wire. And you know, emotional letdown probably after last week from Vanderbilt. But I like Clark Lee, man. Do you realize Vanderbilt is 2 plays away from being undefeated right now? If they get 1 defensive stop at the end of the Georgia Southern game, and if they get, you know, that pass interference, it was called offensive pass interference in overtime against Missouri. If that's not called, Vanderbilt's undefeated right now. So that's how crazy that one goes. But I like that one to be the game of the week. And then let me give you a stat. As much as I want to call Oklahoma in the upset of Texas, I just saw this one today. Do you remember last year's Oklahoma-Texas game? Quinn Ewers threw 2 early interceptions.
Yep.
He rebounded. He threw the go-ahead touchdown late. But Oklahoma went right down the field the final minute, scored a touchdown, and won the game. I'd love to pick Oklahoma in this upset, but the stat I just heard, the 11 players that were on the field for Oklahoma when they hit that walk-off touchdown last year against Texas, none of those players are on the field on Saturday.
Ooh.
I think Texas is going to win. I, as much as I want to think Oklahoma will play, you know, inspirational rivalry football, they're going to play their best. I just think Texas wins.
Do you have them with the spread, 14 points?
You know, it wouldn't shock me if Oklahoma hung around. Like,
that's how I feel.
The problem
yeah.
with betting is if you can get the hook, right, if you can get the 14.5, then I take Oklahoma because it's probably, like, wouldn't you be shocked if it's, you know, 35-21 at the end, something like that. Like, Texas wins by 14, but maybe the 14.5 gets you the hook.
Chris Gordy, host of the Locked On SEC podcast, the daily podcast covering everything on the Southeastern Conference. And look, we're getting you out of here, but hey, basketball season, we're less than a month away.
Yeah, and how about this? Y'all are coming here to Houston. I was so excited that Houston and Auburn are going to play here in a month at Toyota Center, and yeah. I was going to get my press pass, and I was going to be there, and I realized it's the same day as LSU, Alabama. I'm going to be in that. So. Unfortunately, but if you want to come down, I'll give you some good restaurant recommendations and all, but we will not be here for the best.
Man, well, if I may have to do that if my bosses will, you know, pay for it. That'd be great. That'd be awesome if they'll
well,
hop
I won't
on
be
that.
Here. You can just stay at my house. I'll leave a key for you.
No, we won't tell them that part. I need a hotel that weekend. I'll just take the company card and we'll just figure it out as we go. All right, Chris, plug it all. Tell them where they can find you, what you got coming up with another crazy weekend around the SEC.
Yeah, just search Locked On SEC wherever you get your podcasts and on YouTube. We'll be getting some great numbers on the YouTube page the last couple of weeks. So check us out, Locked On SEC, talking all things SEC football 5 days a week.
Awesome, man. Thanks for your time. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you again next week.
All right, thanks, Jacob.
That's Chris Gordy, Locked On SEC. Go to YouTube, check it out, your daily podcast covering the Southeastern Conference. We got to get to our final break. We'll come back, wrap it all up on what's been an awesome Thursday edition of On the Line. We'll wrap it up after this.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Winding down here on the Thursday edition of On the Line here on ESPN 106.7. What a great show it has been today. Thursdays are, they're always busy. They're always wild. They're always fast moving. But just great guests, great phone calls, great conversation makes it just a lot of fun. And if you can't tell, I'm having a blast. I mean, I really, really am. I'm having a lot of fun. I hope you are as well. And I really do appreciate you being here, whether it's for a segment, an hour, the whole show, whatever the case may be. Heck, even if you go back and you're listening on the podcast version of the show, I really do appreciate all of your support, everything you do for this show, because it is growing. I mean, I talk to people all the time who listen and support, whether it's my show, the station as a whole, other shows. It's just incredible to see and hear. So thank you for that. Really do appreciate it. If you did miss any of the show today, you can go and catch up with the podcast. It's on our station website, ESPNAU.com. We'll have that uploaded for you after the show today. Three guests that we had on today, Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network, Auburn High School's head football coach, Keith Etheridge, and just got done talking with Chris Gordy of Locked On SEC. He had, mostly nice things to say about Auburn today. And so, no, Chris is a great dude. He just likes to give people, he likes to give them a little, I don't know what you want to call it. He likes to poke fun. How about that? That's the clean way to say it here on the radio. So be sure you go and listen back to the show if you missed any of it. Coming up on tomorrow's show, it's a free-for-all Friday. Ladies and gentlemen, Uncle T-Bone will be in the studio. I believe we'll have Christian Griffin in the studio as well. We will be joined by Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports and ParamountSports.com. If you've never been here on Fridays to start the show with Lee Sterling, he's incredible, man. He is a fan favorite, just a super good dude, a lot of fun. And in case you're wondering just how good he is, they are 14-4 over the last two weekends there at ParamountSports.com, winning both of their 45-unit plays where they are just rocking and rolling. They are 74% on their 40 and 50-unit plays. So if you're into that sort of thing, be sure you tune in for Lee Sterling and ParamountSports.com. He'll start the show with us tomorrow. We'll make all of our picks. We'll have conversation. It's going to be a little bit different since Auburn's on a bye week, but that gives us an opportunity to talk about a lot of other teams, a lot of other games, and really check in as we're halfway through the college football season. So that's coming up on the show tomorrow. Looking forward to that. We have high school football we'll talk a little bit about tomorrow, as well as Lee Scott is home versus Wadley. Auburn High is home versus Smith Station. Lots to get to on the show tomorrow, so we will be back here inside the studio. Uncle T-Bone, Christian Griffin, and myself. Full house tomorrow on the Friday edition of On the Line. But I thank you for being here. Appreciate your time today. Always a good time here on ESPN. Back tomorrow, okay? 2-4 on the Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. Until then, I'm Jacob Goins. Stay safe. I'll talk to you later.